The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, hour number two. Come on in, 866-660-5759. 835, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne joins us. She will talk about an ad that she paid for in the New York Post. It says, "Ladies and gentlemen of law enforcement, it's time to escape New York and move to Texas." We'll ask her about that in a half hour. I'm asking you your thoughts on the Trump abortion pronouncement. It's 24 hours. Has it marinated? What do you think? I told you what was going to happen. I said some people who are as staunchly pro-life as I am are going to roast him because they don't have the long game in front of them. They want it all now. Understand that? Justice delayed is justice denied. I was looking at the Viascan of Las Colinas text line just yesterday as the Trump announcement was released and as we played it. It was like, I wouldn't compromise on the lives of the unborn. I wouldn't, all the language that spoke of surrender, the language that spoke of selling out the pro-life movement. Guys, just stop. Number one, Trump must win. You do understand that. This is why I love flowcharts. You ready? How to save babies? Number one, Trump must win. If you don't get past that box, we're screwed. Just, are you kidding me? Another 4 years of Biden? And you have candidates out there touting an abortion ban in 2024? They're absolutely going to get creamed. The country is not there yet. I fully believe that Trump is not quite as pro-life as I am. But then who is? Well, the answer is some of these folks. And by the way, God bless them. I'm right there with you. They're my brothers and sisters in pro-life sincerity. But unlike a lot of those folks, I think there's nothing more unscientific than a Twitter poll. But I put it up yesterday, not long after Trump finished talking. I said the Trump abortion pronouncement is a pro-life betrayal. Or B, a wise November strategy. And wise November strategy won like 85 to 15. So there is an I want it all now passion. Love that passion. Share that passion. I share the source of that passion. But flowchart, hello, Trump must win. So we end up with a president who helped us overturn Roe v. Wade, and who still holds out the rape and incest exceptions, which are not pro-life. You are not pro-life if you're good with rape and incest exceptions. Not fully. And I'm going to throw this in. If we're going to say it, we got to say it. Would you consider yourself an abolitionist? I've made a lot of comparisons to slavery, which also dehumanized people in order to achieve something. Would you have said that you were anti-slavery if you'd have said, well, you know, we'll let them have it in, you know, in Alabama and Georgia and, you know, in Mississippi, but we're just not going to have it up here in, Ohio and Vermont. No, if slavery is an objective evil, you get rid of it everywhere. If abortion is an objective evil, you get rid of it everywhere. That is why I am pro-life. Meaning no rape and incest exception. There's nothing about those horrible crimes that makes the resulting life less sacred. Number two, of course I want a national abortion ban. Of course I do. Now, if candidates saying those two things, I'm a radio guy, so it's working out pretty well for me. That you can call me, agree, disagree. Show works. Everybody's great. If I'm a candidate, I'm absolutely going to get swamped. Just going to get destroyed. And then what good have I done? So, got to play the long game. And I don't mean 50 years necessarily, not the 50 that it took to undo Roe v. Wade. I mean that what's necessary to again, we overturned Roe v. Wade like 10 minutes ago. Let this marinate. Let this settle in. Let America see what it's like to have states that protect the unborn. And then we slowly work on that and work on that and work on that and get the country to where we are. Quick question from the text line. Said, Mark, if we have a federal abortion ban of any type, isn't that like Roe v. Wade in reverse? Wouldn't that be unconstitutional as well? Not at all. Roe v. Wade was the Supreme Court saying there's a right to abortion. There's not. The laws can say whatever they wish. We can ban whatever we want, if they're except your religion, your gun, you know, the basic rights identified in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Of course, you can have it. Now there are those who, speaking of where the bar is set, there are those who have said that if we pass a 15-week standard throughout the country, which could be a first step, couldn't a future Democrat president in Congress undo that? Yes, they could. Which is why a lot of people say there's just nothing like a constitutional amendment, just like the way we undid slavery. That is true. But that's even harder to do. So maybe the steps are the Roe v. Wade status quo of let the states do what they wish. Let's get America kind of used to that. Way better than Roe v. Wade. Number two, some type of federal guideline that'll come on in some future year. And then if enough people decide that they're good with that and don't want that hijacked by future pro-abortion presidents and congresses, we see if there is a marketplace for a constitutional amendment, which requires two-thirds of the states. So you got to have big majorities in order to amend the Constitution. So you got to meet the country where they are and then bring them where you want them to be. All right, got some background and audio in this in a bit. But let's do some calls. Dan, welcome. How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing well, Mark. Hey. I'm glad you survived all the bad things that are going to happen yesterday.
Indeed so. The apocalypse did not invent the apocalypse, as people called it, did not occur.
Oh, very, very good. Hey, I want you to talk me off the cliff again. Anytime I hear Democrats and squish Republicans telling me that doing something or not doing something is costing me or costing us elections, I know I want to go the other way, or that I'm on the right track. And I'm just wondering, because people seem to be so sure that the abortion issue is costing us elections, and I wonder how that can be or be so sure when elections are unreliable. How can the data that we glean from that be reliable?
What a great point. What lens do you see it through? For example, like when aren't there enough people who say, I'm kind of pro-life, that the issue should not damage us so much?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And it seems like just right off the bat, well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that I believe the data. It's almost like it's misinformation. And I look at it from the military standpoint. Nothing was better than misinformation that the enemy gleaned themselves.
So that's a very good adage. So, okay, here's how it goes. I don't think being pro-life damages a can, not at all, please. Reagan was pro-life. Hello, two landslides. We are moving the goalpost. Now that Roe v. Wade is overturned, the genuine pro-lifers, and a lot of people have come to me and said, oh, Mark, I thought you said you wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. Shouldn't you be happy, in perpetuity? No, that's called a good first step. But any candidates walking out and saying the kind of things I'm saying are going to get destroyed. America is it's been like a sliding scale. We were okay with like late term abortion in the 1970s, then less so, less so, less so. I think we're at a part where a lot of America is willing to consider a 15-week standard, but if the people of a state want it. The notion of the government telling a state what to do about abortion policy is a place where we absolutely are not there yet. I'd like to get people there, but it's going to be it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, and look at the reaction right now from the pro-lifers, and I get it. But it seems like initially the tide flows away from us. It's like these people are going to stay home. And is that going to hurt us more than just leaving the abortion issue alone for the long game, like you put out there? And I agree with.
Yeah, it's everything is a calculated gamble, because that's why one of the most important things, I was just talking to Mike, one of the most important things we can do is tell pro-life voters that this is not a betrayal from Trump yesterday. This is not selling out the pro-life movement. This is a recognition of what we have done, how remarkable it is what we have done. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we got a lot more to do, but we can't do any of it if Trump loses, which he will do if he goes around touting an abortion ban. Dan, God bless. Appreciate it. We are in Justin. Will, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I think the long game is the way to play this, because that's what the Dems do on everything. Heck, look at the Chinese. The Chinese played the long game for 40 years, and look what they're doing to our economy.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I think that we need to do is change the narrative on women's right to reproduce. Mm-hmm. We're not taking away their right to reproduce. They can reproduce all they want.
Yes.
Just can't kill the baby.
That is correct. That is the ghoulish term, reproductive rights, reproductive health care, abortion care. I love that. That is one of the evil oxymorons of our time. Oh, she wants abortion care. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you, man. Next up, we are in McKinney. Kevin, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Mark, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. All good.
Well, you know, I'm not a conservative, but I have many conservative friends like you. And I wanted to know, the reason a lot of them say they're going to vote Republican because, you know, the pro-life issue. But now, should they try to write in Ron DeSantis? Because I thought he was more pro-life than Trump.
He is.
He's a real pro-lifer.
He is. Ron DeSantis is more pro-life than Trump. But what's the difference between them? Ron DeSantis didn't win the Republican nomination. Trump did. There's only one way to prevent the next Biden presidency. His name is Donald Trump. That means time for everybody to get over themselves, recognize some clarity, and ride with Trump into a second term where we can have more judicial victories, more progress toward where we as pro-life want to go, thanking him for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I probably don't want him touting rape and incest exceptions every day, but I don't think that he will, because he has already said, listen, we're going to leave it to the states. And if that's where we are for this moment in history, okay, let the states and the people inside them get used to what it looks like protecting life in the states that choose to do so, like Texas, like Florida, et cetera, et cetera. And then slowly get people, and I don't even know what slowly means, 5 years, 10, I don't know, but I want to get America there. You got to meet the country where they are. And that's why I did say that maybe the 48th president, President DeSantis or whoever, can be the leader who takes us to meeting the country where they then will be. And that may be an increased willingness to federally protect the unborn. Appreciate you, sir. 822. All right. We got a bunch of audio of how the conservative commentariat handled the Trump abortion pronouncement. Let me sit tight on that for a second, because I just got 2 minutes. And then we hit the bottom of the hour with Nikki Whaley in the newsroom, and then Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne. I will ask her about what she thought of the Trump statement, but mostly we're talking to Beth about her full-page ad in the New York Post inviting New York cops to come to Texas to just get out of their abusive relationship up there and come to a place that respects law enforcement. Okay, this was great. And I also realized today that the day after, let us just stipulate that the eclipse was awesome, and I'm pretty done talking about it, because I think we pretty well talked it to death. But there was a moment. There was a moment where, as I said, the eclipse revealed God's glory. It also revealed some people's stunning, stunning stupidity. Shocker, we go to The View. And at the beginning, you'll hear Alyssa Farah Griffin, token squish Republican, but then you're going to hear Sonny Hostin, who achieves a whole new level of dumb by suggesting that the eclipse, oh, and by the way, earthquakes are climate change.
people are having all sorts of conspiracies about the end of the world. And then I read online that the earthquake epicenter was actually at Bedminster in New Jersey.
Right.
Fun fact. So it originated with Trump.
I know, right?
So that's Alyssa Farah. And here we go. Here's Sunny Hostin. She thought about this.
I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway. The rapture is here.
And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love for the first time in like 100 years, two different kinds of cicadas are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, maybe you know better.
I will say all those things together
would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
the Earth is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. No, it happens.
Boy, when Joy Behar rushes to the rescue with facts, you know something cray-cray is happening.
And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen.
So, when Whoopi Goldberg is a voice of reason, you know craziness is in progress.
All these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, you know, I mean, it's no. But the cicadas come. We have them every 17 years. There's some we get every 20-some-odd years. And they just go under, and they come back up. And now there's two. They make noise and they have sex.
And sing. And this time, both types are coming.
They have sex. Yeah, but it's neat. Yes. They make what's the noise while they're having sex? Oh, God.
No, in addition to the cicada sex, I think the fact that the.
Enough. Okay, so anyway, just. I've listened, political disagreement is my life. It's the soundtrack of my life, and I celebrate it. It's the sound of free speech, the sound of democracy. Stunning stupidity is another thing. And by the way, leftism, I've always said that Trump hatred makes funny people unfunny, makes kind people mean, makes smart people stupid. And maybe that's just leftism broadly written can do this, because here is a woman supposedly with a brainstem taking a look at earthquakes, taking a look at the eclipse and saying, golly, might be climate change. Whew. Wow. 832, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne invites New York cops to come where they are loved. Texas, next. Nikki Whaley's in the newsroom. It is 8:38. I'd ask you to kind of imagine something. Say you're at a coffee shop in Times Square before your shift begins. Maybe one of the other boroughs of Manhattan, or maybe somewhere else in the state. State of New York, where law enforcement has a tough ride these days because of people like the mayor of New York and the governor of New York State, Kathy Hochul. But then there's an ad in the paper, the New York Post. New York Post is a tabloid, meaning a newspaper that opens like a book rather than has a fold above which and below which, et cetera, et cetera. There's a long history to tabloids, and I don't know if in their history they've ever had an ad like this. It says, ladies and gentlemen of law enforcement, it's time to escape New York and come to Texas. It describes, like so many others around the country, we were heartbroken over the weekend and utterly tragic loss of your brother in blue, NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. We grieve for you, the family he leaves behind, and the law enforcement community that has suffered too many of these preventable catastrophes. We are also equally disgusted as one pro-criminal politician after another attempted to force themselves into the solemn remembrance of Officer Diller's heroic career. The same disgraceful politicians who endlessly work to put violent criminals back onto the streets, demeaning the work of law enforcement officers and putting everybody's life in danger, deserve every bit of scorn and rejection we can muster. But that's not enough. Sadly, the corrupt and crumbling Empire State is no longer is now purposefully anti-law and order. and you should no longer put your careers and lives in the hands of politicians who couldn't care less about you or your families. To Governor Hochul and James and Bragg and too many others, you're nothing more than a photo op where they can take credit for your bravery, but more often you're a punching bag for those anarchists to use to satisfy their extremist base. Your lives don't have to be endangered by violent career criminals who are never locked away. You don't have to be beaten on the streets by gangs of illegal immigrant criminals, and you don't have to be endlessly insulted with budget cuts by defund the police politicians. It's time for you to leave these loathsome and destructive fools behind and escape from New York. Join us in the Lone Star State, where we revere and respect our law enforcement officers. I regularly hold one of the largest job fairs in North Texas, and every time we have police and other law enforcement agencies looking to hire good officers to serve here in the fastest growing state in the nation. Our cost of living is lower, our quality of life is better, and Texans embrace, support, and love the men and women who put their lives on the line to protect our families, businesses, and communities. Y'all have a home waiting for you here in Texas. Listed below are just some of the departments and agencies looking for good officers. I hope you will contact them and say, Beth sent me. With love, respect, and prayers from the Lone Star State, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, who joins us. Nice work. Who came up with this idea?
I have a great team, don't I?
That's just tremendous. Just tremendous. Where did the idea come from?
Well, honestly, you think about how many times we're turning on the TV now and we're seeing what these men and women are going through in New York, and it is heartbreaking. It is sickening, and it is week after week. And my point was, you know, to basically convey to them is, you know, we love, we respect, and we all have heartbreak in our country for what these officers are going through in New York. I mean, they have been abused, they've been undermined, and they've been sold out by these politicians who are siding with the criminals over the police and obviously over their citizens. And this is to convey to them, you got a choice. You don't have to stay there. You do not have to live in that cesspool. Come to Texas. Every year we have our job fair, and we've got, you know, so many departments that are looking for good people. You've got a home here. We've got a much better quality of life. It costs a lot less to live in Texas. We don't have the ridiculous state income tax that you've got up there, not to mention the city taxes. And you've got some place where you can raise a family, where you feel like you're respected. And the point was, is let's get these guys out of that position, feeling that that's like the only option that they have. If you're not going to respect them, New York, come to Texas.
And at the bottom of this full-page New York Post ad are the links for the police departments of Addison, Bedford, Carrollton, Coppell, Dallas, the DART Police, Dallas-Fort Worth, and DFW Airport Police, Euless, Fort Worth, Grapevine, Irving, Keller, North Richland Hills, Richardson, and the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office. We've talked about the job fair. You've done this for a while. It's just an opportunity for people looking for work to hook up with people who have work to offer. How much of that has featured law enforcement careers?
Oh, quite a bit, actually. When I'm in the district, we host a lot of roundtables, and you know, from the business community, small business community, mid-size, large size, but even from the law enforcement sector, from the education, you know, the academic sector, you know, they are saying we are looking for people. We are one of the fastest growing areas in the country, fastest growing state in the country. People are moving here, and as a result, we've got, you know, more positions available to take care of those folks. So number of times when we've had our law enforcement roundtables, they have told me that they're looking for more officers, that there was a time when they would have hundreds of officers apply for one position. And it's not like that anymore. You know, when you've got these defund the police efforts around the country, and when they just keep feeling like their rights and their you know, their ability to get their job done continues to be taken away, it's really hard. And so, you know, we have invited them to participate in job fairs, and we had almost an entire row last year over at the Irving Convention Center that was dedicated to law enforcement, you know, just trying to get these positions filled. And it's a tough job. You know, when these guys come home, they don't know when they go out to the office, they don't know if they're going to come home. When they go out in the streets, they don't know what they're going to tackle that day. Their families don't know. And if they're heroes every day, I mean, because they're the ones who cowboy up and they get the job done. You know, they're protecting our families. And you know, anything that I can do to marry up even one good officer from New York to come to North Texas, it'll be worth it for our community and, by the way, for the officer and his family. And if that officer can save a life, he can take down one career criminal, you know, off the street, makes that kind of an impact in North Texas, you know, that the people that are going to be most thankful for it are the folks that we represent. And, you know, I think that's immeasurable, and it's definitely worth the effort.
Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is here. You can see the ad. I put it up. I put it up, and then Jack Fink of Channel 11 put it up earlier this morning, and I used that as an opportunity to remind everybody that Beth was going to be on the show. It is a specific invitation to officers, of course, but it also is an opportunity to compare and contrast the way New York deals with law enforcement and the way Texas does, and that it contains in it a kind of a national message as well. In this election in November, we have a choice between a Democrat party that seems to be happy with post-consequences America, happy with defund the police, happy with the kind of status quo they have in New York, versus a Trump presidency that will give a Texas-style respect to law enforcement. So I'm guessing that messaging is intentional as well.
Well, that, without a doubt, you have a choice to make. And when they stand for it, you believe them. And when they, for years now, have been degrading our officers, have been telling them that they're not worth their pay, that they're going to have to suffer, you know, not only just career consequences, but legal consequences, criminal consequences. So doing nothing more than enforcing laws that lawmakers put on the books. And then, you know, then putting themselves on the line, then putting their lives on the line, going out arresting these criminals only to have these ridiculously liberal DAs that put them back on the street. And I don't know about you, but when I watched the Venezuelan gang members, you know, beating down officers in broad daylight, and then the very next day, you know, they're released, you know, into the population to do harm to other folks, it broke my heart. And then when I watched the debacle that was, you know, that was a funeral for Jonathan Diller and his family, and these people just trying to go there just to get a photo op. These are the same folks that caused this kind of crime wave, that caused this kind of disrespect to law officers. And in Texas, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is day and night difference. I mean, we're a region who absolutely respects, we appreciate, we revere our officers for what they do week in and week out. And it's just one more reason why the Lone Star State shines, you know, brighter than the rest. But it's also because of how we value their professionalism and their commitment of law enforcement officers. I think that's important. You know, when I was mayor of Irving, you know, we had a lot going on in that city. Again, it was one of the top 100 largest cities in the country. We had a bustling, very diverse population. But because of the professionalism that our police officers showed and their mutual respect, you know, our community loved them. And that is the kind of atmosphere, that's the kind of environment that they deserve to work, and not what you're seeing in New York.
Congresswoman,
we welcome them. Love to have them in Texas.
We've got to revisit and see if we get some takers on this. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is here. In our remaining couple of minutes, let's do a couple of things in the news. For the last 24 hours, I've been working with some of my fellow pro-lifers here because I am staunchly pro-life. And I've got a lot of people who are as pro-life as I am, and they're freaking out at the Trump announcement. It's like, oh, he sold us out. He didn't. And I'm like, guys, the federal abortion ban time has not arrived. And if he walks out and touts that, Biden wins. You got to meet America where they are and then try to slowly usher them to where you want them to be. I got a lot of work to do, but let me not presume anything. How did the Trump pronouncement, which essentially said, we overturned Roe v. Wade, be happy with that, let's go with that for the time being, how did that strike you?
Well, I've been a very staunch conservative, constitutional conservative. I believe that states have rights. And in this particular situation, the states have an ability to be able to, as Texas has, put more stringent requirements or less stringent requirements, depending on the conversations that they have with their constituents. I am a firm pro-life believer, and I have been very vocal on this. But I do believe that the states have the ability to be able to figure this out. And I would remind folks that want a federal answer, we are basically one heartbeat away from having a Democrat-run House, Senate, and presidency. So you can think about, and I was on the floor of the House last session when Democrats tried to pass a bill, when the Democrats did pass a bill, by the way, out of the House, that would allow a taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. That is as far extreme as the lawmakers on the Democrat side of our aisle in D.C. want to go. So if you want to open this up to a federal decision, keep in mind we are one heartbeat away in the House from losing our country to a fully run House, Senate, and presidency run by Democrats, and that's the kind of bill that they have already put on the floor that they would pass. So be careful of what you ask for.
This is an intriguing moment because I have said as a pro-lifer that I am prepared to favor national pro-life, national protection of the unborn at some point when I feel like the country is there. But that also involves saying, okay, we're going to move away from each state making up its mind. We're going to say this can be a federal decision. And the federal decision to protect the unborn can become a federal decision not to with the snap of one election season finger.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So again, you know, before we set that precedent, think of what the consequences are. And I was on the floor of the House where everyone but one, and that was Henry Cuellar, everyone but one Democrat voted for that. On demand, taxpayer funded up until the moment of birth abortion. And I don't think that's what the vast majority of Americans want, but that is what you're opening up. You ask for the federal government to come in and take the ability of states to garner that decision on their own.
Beth Van Dyne, D-U-Y-N-E on Twitter, BethForTexas.com. Great ad. I hope we get some takers. That would be great. Show them the wonders of moving from New York to Texas. And much appreciate you, and I will be talking soon.
Thank you so much, Mark. You have a great week.
I will indeed. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, Texas 24, 852. Guys are good. If I were born about 30 years later, I think they would have been in my rotation pretty heavily. My Chemical Romance. This is Disenchanted from the Black Parade. Gerard Way out front of Chemical Romance is 47. So let them take us out. And into the 9 o'clock hour, we got some folks with some thoughts on various things we've been talking about. Talked about with Beth, things I talked about with you with regard to matters small and large as the election draws closer by the day. On Eclipse the morning after, wasn't it awesome? It is Tuesday. Glad you are here. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Stick around. Your call's next right after the news.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.